You are my friend。 あの日の夢までもまだ忘れてないんでしょう。 You are my dream。 始まったばっか。 You know I love you by。 もう未だに夏よ。 Every day この先も Shining day。 変わらず singing。光る朝のスマイル。これで見納めのバーニーデイ。飛び立つフューチャー目指すゴー。Hey everybody, and welcome to your Thursday, February 7th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast where the electricity only goes out in one of your earbuds. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux.
Wow, you just came up with that one right on the spot, didn't you?
No, I wrote it down, because I couldn't think of anything else that happened.
Timely, only 5 days later.
Well, it's a weekly podcast. It's all one big gel.
Oh, I was more referring to, you know, the thing that we were talking about 2 minutes ago.
Oh, no. This is oddly prescient now that I think about it, but it was about the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay, yeah. I didn't watch it, so.
Neither did I, but I mean, I saw all the stuff afterwards, and that really gross GoDaddy commercial.
Yeah, they're always gross.
I think this is them just taking it a bit too far.
Have you ever gone to GoDaddy to watch?
I've been thinking that they've been taking that bit too far for a number of years now.
Have you ever actually gone to watch them? Like, to see what happens after they cut it off?
No.
No.
I did once. It's about what you would expect.
It's totally fan service.
Mike going and, you know, watching or reading something that for no apparent reason. What?
Hey, guess
GoDaddy
what?
GoDaddy is the Kenichi of website domains.
They take off their tops and they're wearing GoDaddy t-shirts under there. Woo! Get a domain.
Okay, so it's not quite as far as Kenichi.
Yeah.
Where they take off their tops as greetings, and then they have clearly visible nipples under there.
Yep. He's done it before. I think ratings are slipping. Let's not talk about Kenichi. Let's talk about other things.
All right. Let's talk about...
World Trigger, I guess, is the housekeeping, if you will. New series this week, which was mentioned previously. Still can't find anything on it, but the big news is that it's going to be simul-release in the American Weekly Shonen Jump, so I haven't seen anybody that looks like they're going to bother picking it up, so...
Oh, wow.
That's good.
Brave New World.
Found the cover. It looks great. Little robot thing.
Yeah, the magazine cover?
Yeah.
I found a translation of the blurb, one second, that they have on the front page.
I like the idea that Shonen Jump Alpha is just going for full parody.
Well, I think what they're trying here is to beat out the Scanlators, be the first out with...
Which appears to be working.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, nobody's doing it. That doesn't mean that if it doesn't get popular, they won't start or something like that. But, here we go. Weekly Shonen Jump's newest series is Out of This World. A gate to another dimension has burst open, and from it emerge gigantic, invincible creatures that threaten all of humanity. Earth's only defense is a mysterious group of warriors who have co-opted the alien technology in order to fight back.
I hope this is good, if there's a reason they're picking this, but I guess they wouldn't know. They've
been picking up... I think that each time that there's been a new cycle, they've picked up one series. So, like, that Cross-Manage had one.
Why couldn't they pick up that?
Takamagahara was one that they had picked up.
Also, they picked up Beals at the very beginning, so we don't really know. It's an indication of quality.
Yeah. You mean
Barrage? You mean not Beals.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit
Beals
here
is highly indicative of quality.
Yes, Beals is great.
You're a monster.
It was B-words I was looking right at the Beals image.
So, speaking of Beals...
No.
Did we want to cover anything else before we got to Beals?
I don't think we know anything else about World Trigger at this point. So
we found a raw of that Edison manga.
Yes.
Was it any good?
It looked just as bad as I... No, it looked just as bad as we thought.
It's my favorite manga. What?
I bet you especially like it with all the Thai text that's on it, right?
Yes. And also the pictures of Thomas Edison all over the place.
Wait, really?
Yeah, anime Thomas Edison.
Huh, I didn't think it would be that literal.
Yep, it's about Edison.
Well, all right then. Good to know. On to Beelzebub.
Eggplants.
Yeah. This one started off with Nasu taunting Oga, and Oga trying to force his way out and Beels appearing from
where his head should be.
Hole.
So we got confirmation that Beals was also smacked up in there with him.
And that guy that looked like Oga last week does not look like Oga anymore.
He looks like Oga in some panels and looks like someone totally different in other ones.
So you think different assistants maybe or something like that?
Yeah, there's definitely a different face shape. Like on the second page, he has like an Oga-shaped face, and then the very next page he's got like a long face and different eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe assistants might be doing it and they only know how to draw one face or something.
It is very strange, but
yeah.
Dasu makes reference to Beals.
It turns out that his power is shape-shifting. There we go.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, he knows Beelzebub's name and gets a really creepy face, which pisses Oga the hell off.
Yeah. I mean, if I were a father and someone knew my kid's name, that would be really weird.
Yes, especially well, if it looks like Natsu.
I don't know. He is the child-rearing badass, and it's not like they wouldn't be attempting to find out everything they can about Oga if they're planning on taking him down.
I think it's just the way he says it.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Like the total creeper way, calling him Little Beezy.
But then Oga confronts him and asks him how much he knows. So Oga seems to suspect something.
Yeah.
And
demon Nasu power or
something.
Responds,
know about what?
Yeah, playing dumb, obviously.
Or now he is aware that there is something going on, but yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, and then the question throughout all of this, where is Hilda?
At home.
She went to school briefly, and then only comes, I suppose, when she feels like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, just she doesn't feel like coming to this school?
It would not have been plot appropriate for her to be here today, so she's not here.
Considering she just probably just wipe out everybody on her own anyway.
Yeah, she would just stab Nasu through the face for as soon as he said Little Beezy.
The Naruto whiskers keep making me laugh.
Yeah,
he's gonna look weird without him.
Yeah, I hope they just never take him off.
It was permanent marker. So then
he likes the way that it looks, so he gets it tattooed.
And speaking of references, once Chrome Dome and not Oga start arguing about who should take credit for defeating Oga, the Nasu uses Geese Howard's finisher from Fatal Fury,
Raging Storm.
Yes.
He, now that you mention it, he does look a little bit like Geese with the tall hair.
Yeah. And Fatal Fury bosses are historically known for being bullshit.
Was Geese a boss?
I also dreamy look that he has in the first panel of the Raging Storm.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Geese does not have as wild of hair as I remembered him having. Must be thinking of someone else.
But everyone looks on and... You know,
the panel before that is amazing too, with him thanking them for waking him up.
Yeah.
Well, after attacking him.
Yeah, no, that's what I was talking about with the dreamy-eyed stare, and then of course the last panel. Just he is getting a lot of awesome faces this chapter. The last panel on the next page, where he's, you know, I don't even know how to describe that face. The empty eyes.
Just evil.
Yeah.
He looks like a QB.
So yeah,
and
then,
I like how he describes them as Mr. 4 and Mr. 6, like he's got them all ranked in his head already.
So which one's 4 and which one's 6? Because one of these guys is the top of the three under people, the kings or whatever they were called.
I assume Fuji is probably like the strongest one.
Well, no, both of them are kings, aren't they?
Yeah, these other two?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're from the lower three, right? And the newcomers are the upper three.
They're not the monsters. They're
The beasts or whatever, yeah.
I guess it's a Yakuza-like setup where there's clans and families within that clan.
I can see that. So then a big free-for-all is about to start when Oga punches a hole in the wall for some reason. Oh,
well, because they're ignoring him.
Yeah.
Yes, to grab their attention and show that he's pissed off. Oga is the center of attention. I mean, come on.
He's the main character.
I like how somebody pointed out that they just rebuilt the school.
Foreshadowing. They're going to destroy the school again and have to go back to their previous schools.
It's going to be great if the school doesn't even make it out of this arc.
And Kenzaki starts taunting them, saying that they're not even on Oga's radar.
Yeah, and Nasu suggesting that he wants to get a kid too.
Yeah.
Wink,
which
wink.
Is creepy. And Nasu's band shows up and attacks Kenzaki.
And then we're introduced to them one by one.
Yeah.
They're all creepy as shit.
I also like how Pianist just has...
Yeah.
It doesn't give his name again. It's just his title. Because he was shown in a previous chapter, right?
Did they? Oh, yeah.
The guy with the scar across his nose? Yeah.
He was the one Natsume...
Yeah.
He caught his punch. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the old guy that followed Tojo.
And they're supposed to finish up Hare Hare Yukai that day, which was the ending song from Haruhi.
Yes.
Which the dance and all that.
So we got a guy with like a kitsune mask that's the trumpeter, which makes me wonder how he plays the trumpet with a mask on.
Yeah.
Very carefully.
His name is Pac-Man too, which kind of awesome.
Then there's the bassist, who is also a former poltergeist.
Which I'm, I'm assuming that it was shown.
I think former poltergeist is their band.
Okay, that makes sense.
I could see that, yeah.
But it doesn't even say it with the pianist.
Yeah. And,
so maybe they're actually ex-ghosts.
Aquos? Aquos, yes. He looks very much like, what's his name from One Piece, from Shanks' crew?
I was going to say he looked like Crocodile, but like anorexic.
I was going to say he looks like Caribou, kind of, with the hair.
So what we're saying is he looks like a character from One Piece.
He's a composite.
Yes.
And the last one is the big fat guy named Teddy Bear.
Yeah.
Does not have a mouth.
But just anyway, we get to the last two-page spread, and they're saying they're going to take Beelzebub from him while walking off.
Just outright saying so.
Yeah. Kind of a cool panel of them walking away, too.
Yeah.
Pretty well drawn.
And Furuichi's there.
Again, suddenly.
Yes. I like that guy's jacket with the giant muscular turtle catching the rabbit.
Yeah. But anyway, yet another setup chapter from Beelzebub, so to speak, but it seems to be going back, the pendulum is swinging back into the fighting direction versus the gag direction.
It's a better setup chapter than last week's.
Yeah.
I mean, we reached a conclusion with Nasu walking away, so
yeah.
We can start more plot development next week.
Well, I mean, the other two guys are there, too. So maybe Oga has to fight them, or they're just going to leave without Nasu there.
Nasu kicked their asses, so they're probably just going to slink away, right?
I mean, that would kind of... I feel like Nasu being the only real threat here would be subverting this arc a little bit.
Well, we haven't seen the other two monsters is the only other thing. They're the three that were in his dream. The other three are just kind of... They honestly seemed kind of tacked on.
I guess they're there just to back up Nasu.
It'd be kind of funny if he just Zebub blasts them next week and they're toast.
That would be weird as much time as I spent, like, introducing them.
Yeah, I have to wonder, these three kings, if they're so outclassed power-wise, are they going to get together and try to do something, you know, an alliance of some kind?
Unless, like, they don't deal with Oga and it's they're a thing specifically for, say, Kenzaki and Himekawa and them.
Yeah.
Could be that, or it could be they'll each become, you know, the subordinate of each one of the monsters or something like that, just to...
Yeah, it is 3-3, so...
But I assume Fuji is beating up Tojo right now.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he would have nothing to attempt to attain.
Man, I love Nasu. He's awesome.
Yeah, I'm enjoying him as a villain.
Yeah. Though they need to... I would like if there were a bit more to the fight than just, like, berry punches.
But it's kind of funny that it was just, like, back and forth getting buried into walls.
And then Oga destroying a wall.
Well, obviously, this was just the power establishment point.
I hope they show them trying to do the Hare Hare Yukai dance.
That would be fantastic.
Just, like, a dozen panels of them going through the motions.
Yep. I would take that as a useful 3 or 4 pages of Beelzebub.
Now, do the entire chapter as just them doing the dance.
I'd be okay with that.
All right. Any thoughts or predictions?
I bet we see another one of the beasts next week.
We'll see the aftermath of the other fights, not necessarily seeing the actual fights. I think it's going to go to Kunieda next.
Yeah, I bet we get...
I think we'll go to Tojo's first.
Well, we'll get introduced to one of them, I think.
Yeah. I think Tojo's going to outright lose. I think Kuneida's going to, like, clearly lose, but not, you know, she won't get hurt.
It'd be kind of interesting if she just gets the crap kicked out of her, like if she gets a broken arm or something, and,
yeah,
you know, Oga defend her.
Nah, the wall exploding that Oga punched, a piece of it's going to fly and hit her. Correct.
Oh, I would love for something like that to happen.
It would actually be neat if, say, Kuneda gets laid out and Oga's sister or Nene has to step up.
Fight the people that are giving a bad name to the Red Tails.
Yeah. It'd be interesting, but it would kind of reduce Kuneda to a certain degree.
I mean, they haven't really done anything to show her as powerful in the last...
Hey, what if she wins her fight?
That'd be pretty great.
Yeah.
Oh yes, just as a side note, feel the need to toss out there, even though we're starting with Beelzebub, which I know is not an unusual thing, it ranks 6th this week in the overall rankings.
Everything we cover is at the top of the magazine this week. Oh, except Nisei Koi.
Well, it was a center color page, so we don't know where it was at.
Yeah.
Which, we also don't have Nisei Koi this week, I guess we should say. Or Bleach.
Yeah, no Bleach this week, and Nisei Koi, nobody released it, so.
Yeah. We'll at least have it next week with Shonen Jump Alpha doing it.
Yeah.
That's right, they jumped right back in, jumped right in with that one. They didn't start from the beginning.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they just jumped into where it was at.
I mean, I can see why they did that, but it's still strange.
That's accepting something that most companies wouldn't accept.
I can see them doing, like, it would be smart to release 2 chapters a week and just, like, catch up.
Well,
That's kind of what I would have expected it to do, and I guess what they're doing with One Punch Man is they're just releasing, you know, one chapter of that a week because that's a monthly, or it's a bi-weekly release, so they're catching up that way. But
when they had the magazine, they used to do a weird thing with, which one was it? I think it was Yu-Gi-Oh! There was one that they kind of jumped into about where it was in America, and then they went back and did, like, you know, origin story comics. It's like, no, this is just the beginning of the manga. Doing it also.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Origins.
Yeah.
The heart of the cards.
Well, I do know when it was in magazine, before it was in digital format, with One Piece and Naruto, I think it was they were doing, like, 4 chapters at a time or something like that.
Yeah, they started to get crazy around the time I let my subscription go.
Yeah.
So speaking of One Piece, which...
Well, no.
Very weird.
Speaking of Naruto...
Yes.
Oh, is Naruto first, then One Piece?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. I got those mixed up then. So speaking of Naruto...
speaking of it? I don't know.
Yeah, we
are now.
It was in the last 10 words.
When we last left off, the Hokages had been summoned in the fake Zetsu bodies.
Yes, and the first Hokage is the best Hokage.
Yeah, he is delightful.
He starts, he breaks the ice, like the tension basically, by just screaming out of nowhere, "Hey, who's that guy?" And pointing down at the fourth Hokage.
Well, it is, I guess, the plague of Naruto. It's the common theme of Naruto that there's always going to be a Naruto-Sasuke parallel somewhere. And it just, with this one, it's first and second Hokage. But they made it different because the one that looks like Sasuke is the one that acts like Naruto and vice versa.
And also they're actual literal brothers, the two of them.
But that's what they do all the time. They try to make those parallels. And this time it's a little less obvious, but
So last time Orochimaru brought these guys back, he had, suppressed their personality. So we didn't really
That's the excuse that's given. They had a thing where they apologized to the third, saying, but they had to fight him, and then it was basically the fight from there on. There wasn't much banter going on.
So I guess we get to see what the first is really like, and he is awesome.
Yeah.
He's an idiot, I guess is what we should say.
He's Naruto. That's
He's fun.
He's big and friendly. Though apparently he's also
psyched.
He's
super psyched to be a zombie right now.
Just based on how they're interacting, he seems to be the best leader too.
Yeah, and then the entire I'm just wondering how he'll react to the wow, cool, for everybody in the world is getting cloned off of his cells and everything like that.
Oh man, that's awesome. Can you make me a body too so I can live forever?
They probably could.
Yeah.
But I like how they immediately see the fourth and wow, they got to the fourth?
He's like, wow, there's a fourth.
And then he asks who the fifth is, and they tell him it's Tsunade.
And he just bursts out laughing.
Wait,
and reason that she became a gambling,
I didn't realize it was Orochimaru who told them it was Tsunade.
Yeah.
Yeah, She was a tiny, terrible child.
That he spoiled because it was his first grandchild.
Yeah.
Of course, that's his job.
But also, the second, kind of a huge dick.
Yeah, so, just a little bit.
So I think we mentioned last week that he made the Edo Tensei, or did we find
out? We didn't mention it. We mocked him for being completely irrelevant, and I still think he's rather irrelevant.
So he's now known to me for two things. He made the Edo Tensei, and he's a huge racist.
Yeah. He does
that
not like
much
Uchiha's
sums it up.
Plot. Which you'd think it would be the first that would hate that Uchiha's more.
Considering one killed him or something.
Did he lose the fight with Madara?
No, he won the fight.
No,
that the fight was over who would get to lead the city.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then I guess it caused decades of strife up until the second Hokage blocked them off as the police force in a small corner of the city.
It was a little uncomfortable reading him go on about how they have naturally born skills that allow them to do these things.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just the racist justifications, except it's anime, is a little weird.
I guess it's a little poignant to a certain degree, because there are people who think that way who get into positions of power.
Yeah. So basically, Sasuke introduces himself, and it's Q&A time, and he mostly just has questions for the third in this chapter.
Yeah, finding out, about Itachi and everything like that.
So we get a lot of confirmation that Itachi was, in fact, a centuple agent, or whatever he was. He was a good guy in the end.
He was loyal to the Leaf.
Yes.
Which I just have to throw it out there, all things considered, with how much... I know that this wasn't when we were talking about it, but on the forums and whatnot, when it was first came out that, oh wait, Itachi's actually a good guy, and I made fun of that because it seemed so hackney, but it's actually been handled really well over the course of this.
It seems so obvious. He was just a little too evil that you always thought, there's going to be a twist, and he's going to actually have done it for a good reason.
Well, you go back and look at the, oh, I'm going to put him into the Mangekyo, thing and torture people. He wasn't a good guy early on.
I really think this
is a decision that was made somewhere down the line. I don't think that this was originally planned, but all things considered, for a retcon, he's done it really well.
I don't know. He was always a dick, sort of, but he was loyal to the Leaf. I always thought he was just supposed to represent, the anti-Kakashi, at first, anyway.
Kishimoto has been good about taking things that seem rather obvious and actually, handling them well and still making them interesting.
Like the Obito-Madara thing?
And there was something else I was thinking of. The fourth being his father and stuff. That still ended up being really interesting when it came out.
But yeah, there was one thing I liked, that Sarutobi was really surprised that Orochimaru was there asking him questions.
Yeah, he did have that kind of goddammit attitude.
It's didn't I, die just to prevent this sort of thing?
What
has everybody been doing while I was gone?
I like to imagine that, he's fighting Orochimaru, he closes his eyes, then he opens his eyes and Orochimaru is standing there with a bunch of people in a lab.
That would be really unfortunate.
It does seem they're kind of aware.
Weren't they supposed to be getting, tortured in this God of Death's belly or something like that?
Maybe that's why the first is so happy to be outside. He's been in there a while.
Longer than everyone else, apparently.
He went in at the same time Sarutobi did.
Yeah, imagine that they would be a little more annoyed with Orochimaru, because he's the reason that they were brought back from the dead and then put into that torturous prison.
Ah, they're cool as a cucumber.
I do like how Orochimaru is, lambasting and lecturing them for, all the bullshit they pulled for the last 30, 40 years.
How dare you make them the police? Hey, didn't you have, a lab full of people that you cut open and put demons inside? Whoa, 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 let's not cast stones here.
We're not talking about me, we're talking about you.
Don't try to turn this around on me.
I'm not supposed to be the bad guy.
I experimented on Uchihas and other regular people.
No racism here.
So, Sasuke turns his questions to the second to find out more about the Uchihas themselves.
And find out why they were supposedly a cursed clan.
Okay, so this is... I like this chapter, but this is the stupidest thing.
They're cursed because they love too much.
Because if they let their feelings go, they'll become assholes.
Everything eventually dies, and when it does, there's an Uchiha somewhere being an asshole because of it.
Well, it just seems to follow Sasuke, right?
Like, it's a genetic thing, apparently. Like, I don't like this because it excuses Sasuke for being a jerk.
I think it's funny how, like, it's like, nah, your people are just like that. They're all dicks like you. You're not special. Any other Uchiha would have been just as much of an asshole as you. Literally any other.
What I was worried about was when he first says, you know, oh, they're cursed by a demon. I was literally expecting there to be some sort of, like, actual demon curse on their family that when they lose somebody, they end up being corrupted.
Well, I don't think this is much better.
When they were talking about Madara's will, I thought it was also going to be, like, a literal thing that he put into the gene pool to control them or something.
I think this is, like, midichlorian level of stupid.
Yep. It's so dumb. I love it.
It's like he needed a way for Sasuke to redeem himself, so he decided on this.
Well, they needed a way for it to not be all Sasuke's fault.
Yeah. But it was all his fault.
No, it's not.
It was entirely his fault.
He just loved too much.
As Sakura's going to find out. No.
What did he love? I don't know. Itachi?
His brother, yeah.
But Itachi didn't turn out fucked up like that.
Did he love Naruto? Is that what they're going for?
I think so, because remember, this is the anguish and the despair of that loss is what awakens the Sharingan, and remember when he got them?
It's when they were fighting.
Naruto died.
No.
Quote unquote died.
You guys have that backwards. Sasuke died, and then Naruto went Kyuubi.
Yeah, but he still woke he still woke them up during that fight, didn't he?
Yeah, I guess it was just to protect Naruto, but the whole thing is stupid. Like, all of it's stupid.
Yeah. And then he, like, tries to show off his Mangekyos to the second, which I thought was really funny.
Sasuke the second is even aware of... Well, yeah, I guess because Madara had them, but...
Well, he even says, like, oh, I see, the shape of a Mangekyo Sharingan.
Yeah. And now, at the end of the chapter, he turns to the first.
So do you think the fourth is, like, getting a chair right now or something?
Are we going to be here long?
How's my
stuff to do?
How's my son? I hope you didn't try to kill him at some point. What's that?
Multiple
times?
I don't think they don't have a decent reference. Maybe Third does, because he knows Sasuke. But nobody else has a decent reference for what time it is.
I do kind of wonder if that's how it's going to end, is he's not really going to have any particular questions for the Fourth, and the Fourth is just going to wonder how his son is and ask Sasuke.
That seems like it would be both a decent segue and a interesting conversation.
When was the last time Sasuke met with Naruto? That was Orochimaru's compound, right?
Yeah.
No. The last time that they met was after he had killed Danzo, and when he had, like, when Sakura was trying to poison him, and then he ended up whipping it back and was trying to kill Sakura, and Naruto steps in.
I don't remember that. When did that happen?
It was a while ago, like, real time, but, within the manga time, it actually wasn't that long ago. But no, Sakura was trying to poison him, trying to stop him, because that was at the time when all of them decide, without Naruto, to go and try and stop Sasuke, and then Naruto runs to try and catch up with him. And he prevents Sakura from poisoning him and then whips it back at her, and Naruto kind of steps in the way of it. And
Right, I remember that. It was like when she fake told him that she
loved
him.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, shut up, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking that maybe if it was at the compound, then Sasuke would think that he had killed Naruto. But if he's seen him since then no.
So
he knows he's alive.
With the question he asked the first, do you think that it's just going to be like a philosophical what is a shinobi, or do you think there actually is maybe a secret to the village?
I don't know. It's a stupid question.
Yeah.
It's time for your history lesson.
Whatever it is, it has brain problems with Sasuke.
First Hokage, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? I am a tree.
Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
See, the answer to that question is always obvious. It's 100 duck-sized horses. A horse-sized duck would be terrifying.
And the duck-sized horses would be adorable until they come attacking at you and try and, like, stomp on you.
Well, is there anything in that question that says they're actually attacking you? It just says you're fighting them.
Well, I think the assumption here is that there would be a, like, the fight would be forced.
I guess, like, a duck-sized or a horse-sized duck, you could just, like, get on its back and stab it in the head or something. This is stupid. We should keep talking about Naruto.
Is it any more stupid than what actually happened in Naruto?
Hey, most of that chapter was amazing.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed this chapter. It's just that the whole love thing was just, ugh.
It's just so transparently an out to make it not Sasuke's fault.
Well, this is the path towards redemption, which I'm fine with, because we all knew that was coming.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, he should have earned his redemption, not, you know, I was so sick, please help me.
I have mental illness. Sakura, heal me.
The heroic thing he's going to do is go against the natural traits of his people.
But I mean, isn't... It only affected him out of every Uchiha we've seen.
I don't know, Obito kind of snapped when the thing he loved got...
Oh, that ruins that too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Fuck.
All Uchihas are assholes.
Except for Itachi, apparently.
Maybe he just didn't love anything. Maybe that's the secret, is you just become a cold asshole, and you're fine.
Actually, they kind of imply that's what happened with Itachi.
Well, yeah, Shunsui, or whatever his friend was.
Well, I mean, that they implied earlier in this chapter that he was loyal to the Leaf in Sasuke, the two things he didn't have to kill.
Ah, yeah, so he never had to lose the thing he loved, so...
Yeah.
That's why he never went crazy.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with this entire chapter is the second is a giant racist asshole and is responsible for most of the problems that happened with the Uchiha, and that's that.
Look, all he's saying is he doesn't want his daughter marrying an Uchiha. Okay? Nothing wrong with that.
Well, there aren't any more, so...
Yeah, they took care of that problem pretty good. I'm surprised
pretty thoroughly.
His grandniece's apprentice might marry one. That's close enough.
That's enough of degrees of separation that he'd be okay with it.
Plus, he's dead, so it probably doesn't bother him too much. With how crazy the second was, I'm surprised he just didn't try killing all the Uchiha. I mean, he basically just gave them like their own little compound and secluded them there.
Yeah, I'm wondering how close he and Danzo were, if they were, you know, good buds, because, you know, he did found Anbu and all that sort of stuff, too.
How old is Danzo? He's younger than Tsunade, so maybe he wasn't alive.
Yeah, because he said he looked up the Sanin when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Danzo was only probably, like, 40 or 50. Tsunade's, like, what, 70?
Nah, I thought she was 50 or 60-something.
She's in the late 50s, I think.
Oh. Yeah. I'll move everyone back 10 years.
But I mean, it's Naruto ages, yeah. So...
You're either an old person or a teen.
Yeah. Even when they were, like, 12, they were inexplicably teens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that he's going to ask the Fourth some, like, ridiculously revelatory question. Because there's... otherwise, there's kind of no reason for him to be there.
He's there to round out the numbers... And so that he can ask Sasuke how his son is doing.
And so that him and the First can get a spin-off. They just hang out.
Man, the First is awesome.
Okay, would you rather have a spin-off of the Fourth and the First, or of Killer Bee and the Raikage?
Or a horse-shaped duck.
Oh man, I was going to say that's an easy decision until you said the second one. I think Killer Bee would get old if he had his own manga.
Okay, how about Killer Bee in the First?
Okay, that would be pretty great, too. And they're just, like, traveling the world, just, like, seeing all the new stuff. So every chapter is just like, what is this? It's a TV. Wow! Oh, the First is great.
Yeah.
Number
definitely
one.
The best part of this chapter.
Best Hokage?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Just based on this chapter only.
There's one of our categories for Manga of the Year, Best Hokage. We already know who's going to win it.
He also kind of seems to have messed up the least. Like, he founded the village, and that went pretty great. It was after he died that everything kind of started getting crazy.
He's just sort of the only person to successfully beat Madara.
Yeah.
Which, maybe that's...
Actually, well, the Hokages have beat Madara several times. He just kept coming back.
Well, have they actually beat straight-up Madara, or has it been, like, Madara replacements?
Yeah, the other times it's always been Obito as Madara.
No, in the fight when he was a zombie, didn't they, like, defeat him and then he comes back, and then there was, like, the 100 clones of him, and...
I don't think that they ever actually beat the... Like, I don't think that the Kages all beat...
Yeah, because he just... He made that
one.
Giant...
He was just kind of like...
That's right, he got bored of it and then killed them all and left.
Yeah. He was playing with them with Susano, then he destroyed them.
Then, oh, time to leave, you're dead.
Yep.
So basically, the first is the strongest fighter and also one of the most fun characters.
They should just get him to go fight Madara again. His new immortal body.
They never actually say that these are like weaker or anything.
Yeah, no, that's not a terrible idea.
I think they're like actually explicitly the same strength with how broken that is.
Good old Ito Tensei.
Yeah, you know, the Ito Tensei, they can also like generate weapons that you had and their special properties.
So the second has done nothing good.
Nope. Racist.
Hypothetically, Anbu might be a good idea.
But they explain how, like, Anbu made everyone hate the Uchiha more, and the Uchiha more likely to revolt.
Well, yes, but that was just a poor implementation of a tool.
Nah.
Anyway, I think we kind of beaten this one to death at this point.
Yeah, first Hokage, best Hokage.
Let's talk about One Piece, and speaking of beating things to death, the Caribou story is still going.
And they're waving goodbye again.
Again.
Seeing him off to the harbor.
Yeah.
I
don't care.
I want this over.
Yeah. Let's do it, move it on.
I want pictures of Zoro having sake with giraffes again.
So, G5 went back to the island.
Yeah.
To take a brown beard and help thaw out his crew.
Well, to save all of their marines, too.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of G5 also got caught by it.
Apparently, they're still alive. They're just encased in stone.
Yeah, and will die from the poison in short time if...
Yeah, it's not an instant kill. You're just... You basically get poisoned to death inside the stone, which is maybe more horrible than what we thought it was.
Speaking of horrible, they discovered Buffalo and Baby Five headless and squirming.
Yes, their bodies.
Yeah. So that's what they did with Baby Five's body.
Yeah, so now we know the answer.
And then they notice things off in the distance coming flying at them, and it's Baby Five and Buffalo's heads.
Which get reattached to their bodies.
Yeah, it was apparently, a good throw.
Apparently Doflamingo can do that.
Well, when you get the original stuff back, I think it just kind of snaps back together, because that's what happened with Kinemon, didn't
Kinemon,
it?
Yeah.
I figured that was just him and his magic powers.
And then basically Doflamingo makes his grand entrance and takes out basically everybody.
Instantly.
He takes out all of G5 in one swipe.
Yeah, like, well, with the Emperor's Haki, with the Conquerors. Yeah.
And Smoker tells them to stand down so they stop getting killed.
But and Doflamingo keeps attacking them anyway.
Yeah, and Smoker shoots a smoke bullet at him, which we're going to call mistake number one.
Yeah, striking first.
Yeah. And Doflamingo figures Smoker knows where Law and the Straw Hats went. Or at least the Straw Hats, because that's who he's really interested in finding.
Yeah.
And then, probably the bigger mistake of his mistakes is he kind of confronts Doflamingo about, like, how he knows... he says he's going to inform Virgo. Okay. That's mistake number two.
Yeah.
He's trying to lie.
Because Doflamingo already knows what's going on there.
Yeah,
I misunderstood that the first time. I thought he was going to report about Captain Virgo.
Well, it's just a knowing thing, telling Doflamingo, like, you know...
Just mentioning Virgo, probably not the best idea.
Yeah. Doflamingo seemed pretty upset about that in the first place.
Yeah. So then we see blood and cigars go flying.
Yeah, which...
And then it cuts to the Straw Hats.
Who are on their way to Dressrosa.
And Frankie's new haircut.
I was wondering what was up with that. He looks like Pippi Longstocking.
He looks like Willie Nelson.
Yeah, it really just needs to go back to the
pompadour.
Yeah, and just leave it with
that. He keeps
trying
new things, and they're funny for sight gags, but...
Like, I didn't like Bald Frankie very much.
I don't mind Bald Frankie.
I like Pompadour Frankie the most.
Yes. Yeah, Bald Frankie was okay, but... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just Pompadour Frankie is Frankie.
It's so, how we've known him.
Yeah.
They're all heading to Dressrosa, and Kinemon pipes up that he's going there too. And Luffy realizes that he can finally tell them what the whole plan is now. Which is, they're going to take down the four Yonko.
And the panel of him announcing their alliance is great, because it's Luffy with a big smile on his face, and just a scowling Law.
With Law going, oh god, what did I do?
And Sanji explaining, Luffy doesn't know what alliances are.
I've continued to make huge mistakes.
I do wonder what Luffy's idea of an alliance, how it differs from Law's.
Well, I think Luffy
is their friends.
Yeah, they're buddies.
Yeah, and Law's is comrades in arms and nothing more.
Like co-workers, basically.
Yeah.
You have the same, you are a means to an end for me.
Yeah. So they still have Cedar Crown with them, and Chopper's patching him up.
And Sanji's beating him up.
Yeah.
And Chopper's mad. He says that he has to be fully healed before you can beat him up.
A kick right to the face while you're, strapped to a pole probably really hurts.
Just good. A little bit, yeah.
Good, I hope it really hurts. So,
yeah, they
explains what he did and where they're going and why.
Yeah, it's apparently a multi-part plan that he was planning to cut off all SAD production and destroy what remains of the remaining Smile.
Yeah, so he's stopped the SAD production, but now he's got to go,
take out what fruits have been made, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before they take on the 100 Beast Kaido. And everyone's against this idea except Zoro.
Yeah, he's down with it.
It's just problem.
Well, if they're going after the four emperors, then he gets to fight Mihawk.
Mihawk's not an emperor.
Isn't he? Oh, he's a
Shishibukai. No, he's a Shishibukai, yeah.
For some reason, I thought he was an emperor.
Nah.
No, there's emperors and warlords. They're completely different.
Then he gets to fight whoever's strong.
Yeah. They're strong people.
Yeah.
And Kinemon suddenly realizes what's going on with Momonosuke.
When he turns back into a dragon from shock.
Well, before that, they say something weird,
Well, they react to it being Kaido.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So the implication is that they both know Kaido for some reason, and I'm going to guess that it's because he's the person who protects their island.
Oh yeah, because they have territories, right?
We established this
2 arcs ago. Huh, I hadn't considered that.
And considering they're going to Dressrosa, then presumably they have no problem walking into Kaido's territory.
And then we find out that Kaido has at least 500 synthetic users in his crew.
At which point, Nami, Chopper, and Usopp turn against the plan.
Yes, they vote nay.
And everyone's are admiring Joker for... Or not Joker, Cedar Crown.
For being the person who created Smile in the first place.
Except Vegapunk made it.
And
they all ignore him. I like Chopper's walking away dismissively.
I love Caesar's face when they're praising him. He's just so... They just need to leave him tied to that pole forever.
He just becomes part of the ship.
Yeah, that mouths off to them whenever they're on deck.
Yeah.
So they all agree that they're going to Dressrosa to destroy all their remaining supply of Smile. And then Kinemon mentions that one of his comrades is being sent there against his will. Being held there.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I assume that's not the thing we've heard about before?
Well, no, I haven't heard it, and then what's interesting is he came for his son first, and so I'm wondering if maybe that's his wife is being held there or something like that.
I don't think he'd say comrade. If it was his wife.
Yeah, there was something last chapter about it seemed like something bad had happened in Momonosuke and Kinemon's past, so I wonder if this deals with that directly.
Yeah. Anyway, for the end of the chapter, it cuts back to...
Doflamingo wrapping up on Smoker's face.
Yeah, Smoker's got 3 straight line strikes against his face.
Which... Yeah, this chapter has greatly increased the evidence for Doflamingo being the, string man or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm going to smug a little bit about this one.
Why?
Because I was the one who kept saying that it's going to end up with Kuzan and Doflamingo fighting.
Yeah, but you specifically said before they get to the island.
Well, I mean, it's essentially...
No.
It counts.
Nope, doesn't count.
I was right, except for the part where I was wrong, but, you know.
I was right for the main thrust of it. Oh, I didn't get the right positioning. Boo-hoo.
Yeah, I do think that it was good timing in the sense that Kuzan missed the Straw Hats, because apparently in movie 12 they interact quite a bit. So it would have been interesting to see how they might have attempted to deal with that as to whether they're canon or not.
So yeah, Kuzan tells Doflamingo to stop because that's a friend of his. The end.
They go way back.
Yes.
I kind of really want to see Kuzan and Doflamingo fight.
I hope so too. I hope that that's where this goes.
I wonder if he could like freeze Doflamingo's strings.
Because Kuzan, like, we've only heard about him being beaten once. The only time we've seen him fight, he made short work of the crew.
Well, no, we also saw him fight in the what's it called? In the Marine Shirt.
War.
Oh, who did he fight?
Everybody.
Yeah,
he directly.
He didn't lose to anybody.
Oh, no.
No, not he was... All. Him and Kizaru just kind of went out and started fighting anyone they could come across.
Yeah, and like one of the dramatic moments was when he took out Diamond Jozu, or whatever his name is.
Diamond Jaws, or something like that.
So, no, we haven't actually seen him lose anywhere. And I honestly kind of hope that this is going to start, like... With him saving Smoker here, is that this is going to start the split in the Marines or something like that.
Because Smoker's kind of disillusioned right now with Virgo, right?
Yeah.
That kind of shook him a little bit.
And I could see the two of them going and finding, you know, Kobe, Helmeppo, Garp, and Sengoku.
Kind of building almost a pirate Marine crew, like a Marine pirate crew.
Just starting a, like, civil war within the Marines, almost. Like, to try and take the Marines back from what they've become.
That'd be awesome.
So, the thing we're not talking about, really, is we know Kuzan is specifically going to Punk Hazard.
Yeah.
Why?
Don't know.
He's there. Clearly he's looking for something. He didn't have any access to watch what was happening with the Straw Hats and Law.
Yeah, and he's apparently asleep for an amount of time.
Yeah. So maybe did he just want to visit where he lost, or?
I mean, it could be that. I mean, there's tons of possibilities. Like, maybe it could be, I don't know.
He may have
somehow,
left
after
here.
Losing, he became affiliated with the Rebels, and they sent him back here.
Yeah, 'cause, I mean,
on a mission of some sort. To.
If he's after the Straw Hats, who knew the Straw Hats were on this island? Not
Nobody.
Like Smoker, right? That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most interesting thing to me, besides the fact that he's about to kick Doflamingo's ass.
I guess the other thing we didn't mention is it's kind of clear which decision Doflamingo came to. He's going to kill the Straw Hats before the next day so that he can get Caesar back.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to make it. I think Kuzan's going to beat him here.
And then they're
going to, like, fire him as a Shichibukai.
Or if he runs out of time, he'll be forced to resign.
Yeah.
I mean, at least this way he got Baby Five and Buffalo back.
I think that
or
they're going to...
Or the separate faction of Marines broken off and they'll take him captive.
Well, I think they're going to force him to, like, be fired, like, not voluntarily leave the Shichibukai, and Law is going to use that as the out to not give back Caesar Crown.
The thing is, though, the Straw Hats are heading for Dressrosa, which is Doflamingo's home base.
Yeah, and he's not there.
Yeah. Interesting.
And if he, like, it'd be funny if he just stayed put, he would have gotten Crown back. Oh, well.
Which implies that Law actually planned things out pretty well.
Yeah. Though, poor Smoker.
Yeah.
All he's been doing is getting beaten the last...
Smoker has been Chad.
All he's been doing is getting beaten for the last ever.
Well, I mean, there was a point where he was reasonably... You would expect him to be able to beat Luffy in a straight fight.
That one time?
He was supposed to be Luffy's Garp.
Yeah. And then it never really manifested that. Like, once Luffy got the Haki powers, Smoker was not a threat.
Yeah.
Basically, he just needs to learn how to fight, not without relying on his Devil Fruit power.
Now, if he teamed up with some kind of marine faction with really strong people in it.
I do like that idea.
It would be cool if they, like, Garp taught him how to fight his grandson.
That would also be neat, yeah.
Garp trained the next Garp.
It makes sense, thematically.
So any thoughts for next week?
I think Kuzan is going to punch Doflamingo in the face.
And yeah, I don't think that the entire chapter is going to deal with that fight.
I don't know, I just want to see a punch.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Also, I watched movie 10, finally.
Oh, yes, I suppose we should also mention, not next week, but next chapter, because there is no One Piece next week.
God, Oda.
Anyway, continue. Sorry, yeah. I just wanted to inject that.
What was it, like, the first podcast we did, you told me I should watch movie 10? And then, like, a year later, I finally watched it. Yeah, that was a good movie.
That was Strong World, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
The one about the Gold Lion guy.
All I know about it is that they all wear suits.
Not really for most of it, even.
Yeah, no, it's just one scene, basically.
They were really playing that up in the marketing.
Well, yeah, no, it's just...
It's basically like the final battle, they wear suits.
Yeah, and they all have the guns and, like, what's his name? Like, Zoro's has 3 barrels because he's Zoro, you know.
So it was a good movie, but I do have one problem with it. It's that I think the female characters are really underutilized in it. Nami and Robin both just kind of exist to be damsels in distress.
I think that that's a problem with the series as a whole anymore. I will say, and without trying to get into too much spoilers, because I think we're going to try and skirt around it for here, is that Nami attempted to... She never stopped fighting, I think, is the best way to put it.
Yeah. Well, Robin doesn't really do anything in the movie, ever.
Having not seen the movie, those seem like characters that deserve better than to be captured.
I mean, in the big final battle, Robin defeats, like, one, like, super minor lackey, and then the next time we see her, she's been taken captive by one of the major lackeys.
I think one of the problems with the movies is that the crew has gotten large enough that they can no longer do the everybody has their opponent sort of thing.
Yeah. Well,
especially in this one, it was like Sanji has an opponent, Zoro has an opponent, and Luffy has an opponent. And you have to do those three.
And that's basically how a lot of the more recent movies have kind of worked, unfortunately.
Like, those three are so popular, you can't not have their own fights.
Yeah, they're also, you know, the strongest and have the flashiest fights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the one real thing with, you're talking about damsel in distress, and this is kind of the major plot of the movie, so it's not really spoilers, it was kind of spelled out in the trailers, is that Nami is kidnapped by Shiki in the course of the thing. And it kind of both feels like a repeat of Arlong Park, but then also movie 2 had a very similar premise. So if you binge on the movies and watch them all back to back, it'll feel very familiar.
I did like Billy, though. I wanted him to join the crew.
What they should do is they should have a female villain that seduces Sanji, and then they have to get Sanji back.
And then they find out he went willingly.
Yes.
I would be okay with that movie.
Then one of the fights is Zoro versus Sanji, where he has to knock him out to bring him back.
So there was one thing I didn't understand in the movie, Greg. At the end, like the very end, was there like a hidden message, or did Luffy just not listen long enough to hear the last part of Nami's message? It's just like suddenly there was more to that message without much explanation.
Oh, no, I think it was just that he didn't listen to the rest of it, and then everybody else heard it, and he just got angry and came after her anyway.
Okay. That just seems kind of weird.
Nah, I thought it was fine.
Strong World was the one Oda wrote, right?
Yes.
Wasn't it supposed to be, like, weirdly canon?
It is canon.
Well, okay, so there is nothing that contradicts it from canon. At this point, we still don't know if this movie and movie 12 are actually fitting into the thing, but, like, time-wise, this would take place between Thriller Bark and the Archipelago. And it fits in there, and the entire thing of Shiki existing in the past and whatnot, that is all 100% that happened. But whether the events of the movie themselves actually occur is something that's kind of up in the air.
Yeah. I also watched that episode zero thing. The flashback.
Oh, that goes along with the, yeah.
Yeah. That was awesome, getting to see everybody as kids.
Yeah.
Young Hancock is adorable. It's true.
I wonder if they're ever going to bring her back.
Oh, I'm sure that she'll come
she's
back.
She's really popular. Guess why?
I'm sure I have no idea.
Yeah, that's a mystery.
But yeah, and it should Movie 10 should be coming out in the States sometime, I think, this year, maybe. So, highly recommend everybody check it out. It is, I'd say, the best of the movies that I've seen. Movie 6 is the second best, if you want to pick up another one, Mike. That one is very different from anything else you've ever seen One Piece. It's kind of dark.
Which one's... Okay, that's the dark one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. We've talked enough about One Piece.
No.
Okay.
On to Assassination Classroom.
No.
Yay.
Kill you.
Where this is the second part of the transfer student arc, I guess. Where last week we saw him and he could track Koro-sensei's eyes and they called him brother.
Yes.
I do like that the two-parters are called second period.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
I never caught on that.
So this one has a lot of really good sight gags. Like, more and better than I think Assassination Classroom has done in a long time. It starts with Kurosuma getting an email that the new transfer student is coming.
And then Ritsu fills them in a little bit in that she came early as opposed to at the same time because she was nowhere near as good of an assassin as him, so she could not be the distance one while he was close up.
Yeah, originally they were going to attack at the same time.
But she was insufficient to serve as support.
And Koro-sensei looks nervous as the door swings open and a hooded guy comes in and reveals a bird in his hand.
Yay.
Just and because. Like... Sorry, I must have frightened all of you.
Also, I feel like pointing out this is the person we thought might be like Koro-sensei, and he's wearing gloves. We don't actually see his hands, which...
Yeah. And Koro-sensei does the same thing. When he goes outside, he wears gloves.
Also,
yeah.
He called himself Shiro, which sounds a lot like Koro.
Yeah. Then the best reaction panel of Koro-sensei hiding in the corner.
As mold.
Yeah. With his, like, very stoic face.
And we get another one of his weaknesses. He gets taken in by rumors.
I like how these weaknesses are trickling in. They're not overdoing it, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's a good running gag.
Having, like, 17 in one chapter or something would be insane and would ruin it.
Yeah.
Forever. So he says, nice to meet you, Shiro, and Shiro gives him a present, which is apparently a type of bean-paste dessert, which I'm guessing is some sort of joke that I don't get.
Maybe that's just a strange thing to give as a gift.
Maybe. But he gives it to him, and then Shiro summons Itona, who is a transfer student.
And then
and he
just walks in the wall.
It's a really good page, too.
They make it clear that he just kind of strolls in right through the wall and sits down quietly.
Like, the actual composition of this page...
Oh, sorry.
Well, the actual composition of the page is great.
Yeah.
Like, him walking in and, like, you see the panel line down the middle and him just sitting down.
Yeah, just casually.
Yeah.
And then I just loved the line, the first thing he says, which is, I am victorious. I have proven myself to be stronger than this classroom's walls.
He's going to be a great character.
He's also crazy looking. And then another really good Koro-sensei reaction of him looking like terribly drawn.
like a half-assed not going, face. What the heck is going on?
See, that one's funny. And then the next panel where he still looks crappy, but in a different, but in a different way.
But yeah, they introduce the kid as Horibe Itona.
Yes, and then he says, I've spoiled him a bit, so for the time being, please let me watch
him. Yeah. And Karma says something like, you know, how come you came in from the outside when it's raining, but you're not wet? And then he goes full on creeper.
And just, like, starts rubbing Karma, saying that, oh, you're weaker than me. I'm not going to kill you.
And apparently this doesn't bother Karma that much.
Probably annoys him.
He just looks a little confused.
Yeah. I think he's just more annoyed that someone called him weaker.
Or that he messed up his hair.
Yeah. And Itona points at Koro-sensei saying he's the only one that's stronger than him. So he's going to go after him. which Kuro Sensei has already been eating the bean paste.
Yes, and he pulls out another bean paste.
And says that they are brothers.
Related by blood. And then the best page of all time.
Yes.
You see them as babies together in the crib.
And playing baseball. And then as Raditz and Goku.
With Kill on the back of his shirt.
So the funniest thing to me is that for some reason this is a sequel to the panel above it.
Yeah, because he's still wearing the
baseball cap.
Well, I'd like to think all of these are sequels to each other.
Yeah. Just so the actual babies, sequence.
They were babies, and then they were like, Kurosuke was taking care of him as like a young adult. Then they were baseball stars together, and then they were Raditz and Goku.
I love Kurosuke with the scouter and the baseball hat. And then he begins eating the bean paste like through the packaging or something.
He does not know any barriers.
I don't know. This whole chapter was worth it just for that one panel.
Yeah.
Which is weird because it's such a small panel.
But... it is. It is the best sight gag he's ever done.
I think Kurosuke's face makes it too.
Just... it's great because they're like allies in all the other ones, and this one they're enemies.
Yeah. Well, how do you know that he wasn't trying to beat him up with that baseball bat?
I just realized the best part of this entire thing. He has a tentacle wrapped around his waist.
Yeah, instead of
like the Raditz has the tail. Oh, yeah. That's amazing attention to detail.
This is why this is the best manga, is that panel right there.
Yeah. This entire chapter was just fantastic.
Like, just in terms of just regular sight gags, this is probably the best chapter of the series, full stop.
Also the entrance page, just actual drawing skill.
I do like how no one paid attention. Well, somebody looked like Shiro looked at Nagisa weirdly for a second. I forget why. He said something.
Oh, no, he was thinking something about him, and then Shiro looked at him.
Oh, yeah.
So he can read minds.
That seems likely to me, especially if he has, like, weird Kuro-sensei-like powers.
Yeah, because, I mean, why else is it like, that guy's probably slippery, and then, like, huh? You know, like, that catches his attention.
Is that kid different from the girl next to him?
It's like, why are
I can't tell.
Why are there two of that person?
They have slightly different hair, but that's about it.
There weren't any siblings in this class. That's weird. So Shiro's totally an alien, right?
He has to be.
I mean,
or another one of the monsters that was made in the lab or whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I don't think Kurosensei's actually an alien. But
yeah.
I mean, he's covered head to toe.
Well, he is Raditz, and Raditz is an alien.
But then that would mean...
No. He said Shiro, not...
Oh, Shiro, not...
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Itona is probably an alien, too. Or at least an enhanced person, I would guess.
Yeah.
He does not seem normal. First of all, he's got the...
Really? You don't think eyes. That he's normal?
I like his
hair. You in?
It's the boa that he's wearing. It's just not the right time of year for that. I mean, it's June. Who wears a boa?
So the rain thing was meant to imply that he's fast enough to dodge the rain, right?
Well, he was fast enough to watch Kuro-sensei, so I think the implication is that he was walking through and dodging raindrops.
And he was able to see Kuro-sensei, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the implication is, yes, he is fast. He's only going to be Mach 9. He's not Mach 10. And then we'll get a sight gag next week having to do a Street Racer.
Yeah, okay. That sounds about right.
Or wait, no, that's the Mach 5. Never mind. So he'll be Mach 5. There you go.
This will be Mach 9. It'll just be a car with a 9 on it. I like his hair.
The
tornado thing on front.
It looks very good for a crazy person.
He's got a good stylist.
I'm trying to look up his name real quick.
Itona.
Is Itona something?
Harabe, because it's like it's like horrible.
Yeah, that's what I... When I read it, that is what occurred to me as well.
I'm trying to figure out why the nameplate on the household panel says Kurono. I guess it's just for Kuro-sensei?
Yeah, and the no makes it sound like a last name.
Ah, that makes sense. Yeah, great chapter.
Yeah. Honestly, all four of them were all four of the ones that we're covering this week were pretty solid.
Yeah. I'm genuinely, this is, in terms of quality, this is probably the most consistent jump cast.
Ah, but then there's no One Piece next week.
Oh, that's true. And Bleach will probably be back.
Maybe. Do we know why it was on break?
It was just off. Although I do think that it was sudden, because I don't think that they announced it last week that it was going to be off, and nobody seems to know anything about the one shot that got slipped in this week. So I think it's kind of just something that they had on the shelf and then stuck in. Like, it wasn't advertised in last week's magazine.
Well, it's flu season, maybe.
Yeah.
Got sick.
Pretty strange, though, to just take a break in the middle of a fight.
Also, cross-manage did not end this week. Like we thought it might.
No, yeah. Nothing ended this week, so looks like it made it to the next one, and then it's going to get. I'm guessing Crossmanage is going to be the first one to get axed next time.
Yeah.
Poor Crossmanage. Maybe it should have hewed a little bit closer to the one shot. Maybe there's just one editor ruining Jump manga that comes in.
He's the evil
one. It would be
one.
Really. It would be really interesting to see who is the editor for each of these, like, not the non-large series, to see, like, yeah, whether there's any consistency between them.
Is that, like, actual information that's easy to find out, or is that
probably not?
It seems like the kind of thing that just comes out with behind-the-scenes stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's never made clear. Like, it's not, you know, author so-and-so, editor so-and-so.
Like, I mean, we can find out for the bigger series.
Yeah, but...
Right, because those guys are rock stars.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we know Jean-Baptiste Hattori is One Piece's editor.
But we don't know who the shitty editor is, because they will never have...
Yeah. But oh well. I think we're done.
Yeah.
Yep.
This has been your Thursday February 7th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank
we'll
you.
We'll see you all next week. Like, naming the final boss is like, that's some PS1 JRPG shit.
Well, it's the horrible movie thing of, like, you know, looks like today was a good day to die hard.
I was thinking, like, if John McClane met a villain named Die Hard.
Yes, I am James Diehard.
And then just, like, pans at Bruce Willis's face as he looks shocked.
And it's just, like, this, like, tall, bald guy with, like, a scar over one eye and sunglasses.
Why hasn't Diehard gone the direction of Fast and Furious?